another prayer request I failed to get to. The one making the announcements, Rebecca Elliott, was going to have a root canal. They found some problems, so she's going to have further tests with a specialist. And so we need to remember her in our prayers. And also, Sean said that Gabriella is not feeling well. Keep me in prayers. I fell coming off the curb a while ago. Hit my head, so if I quit in the middle of the sermon, one of you men just come up here and take over. I wondered why every time I went for my primary care visit, they always ask, have you fallen lately? I guess when you get 80 years old, people expect you to start falling. And I thought, well, that's ridiculous. I hadn't fallen. So next time, I guess I'll have to say, yep, I did. So appreciate your prayers on my behalf also. I don't think it did any permanent damage, but bruised up and aching all over. And did hit my head, the back of my head pretty good. So hopefully there's no problem there. Satan is alive and well today. But we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will always make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so we have that promise to God from God that we can bear any temptation that he sends to us. In 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 11, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who calls us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So how do we deal with Satan? We want to look at what's happening in this temptation process and what our role is and what God will do for us. First, we see that Satan presents the test. No temptation is overtaking you such as is common to man. Satan works on all of us, and he knows our weaknesses. And so that's where he's going to hit us the hardest, is in the area of our weakness. And so he knows that. Temptation is not sin, but we do not need to flirt with it. Don't need to play around with temptation just to see if we can overcome it. There are some Bible temptations that we can look to. 1 John 2:15 through 17, we're told, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And so we're all tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's the main categories of temptation that Satan presents to us. And then we see in Genesis 3:6 that same thing. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And so not only do we face the temptation in those three areas, again, that John referred to, but then we face the temptation from those close to us that might try to get us involved in sin also. And that's the reason the song that we sang, Shun Evil Companions. We have to separate ourselves from those that would tempt us to do evil, encourage us to do evil. And so we need to recognize that we need to get away from those people. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And so not only did she give in to the temptation, then she encouraged him to do the same. In Matthew 4, 1 through 11, we see these same three temptations coming toward Jesus when the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse 2 then says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" So there's the temptation of the flesh. "Then the devil took him up on the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" And so the temptation of feeling your importance, the desire to be well thought of. And so he says, if you're really the Son of God, then God's going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. Then again, the devil, verse 8, took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And so we see these three temptations, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, presented in these situations. And so that's the ways that Satan tempts us. And so those three areas are the lust of the flesh. Lust, she saw the good, it was good for food. With Jesus, the stones to bread. With us, the fleshly desires that we face. In 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5, "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." And so the lust of the flesh, Satan presents temptations to us in that way. And then the lust of the eyes with Eve, she saw it was pleasant to the eyes. With Jesus, showed him all the kingdoms. And with us, materialism, the things that we see that we want. Acts 5:3, "But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourselves?'" And so the lust of the eyes, wanting material things that we think will satisfy us, and they never really do. And then the pride of life with Eve, the fruit would make her wise. With Jesus, cast yourself down, and angels will take care of you. And with us, selfishness, thinking highly of ourselves. And 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 11, "Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Christ should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And so one of the ways that Satan tempts us is in making us think we're better than we really are, or that we're better than other people, or that this pride of life, the fact that I'm so important, that God needs me, like the Pharisee prayed. You ought to be thankful to have me, Lord, because I do so much for you. Pride of life. Three ways that he tempts us. So Satan presents the test. And then the next thing is, we perform our best. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. So we have the ability to resist temptation. And as I look back over my life, anytime I've ever been tempted, I had the ability to resist that temptation, but I chose not to. Like my little granddaughter talked about, when I asked her why she did something that she knew her parents had told her not to do. And her response was, I wanted to. And so we give in to temptation because we want to. Not because we're not able to bear it, but because we want to. But we need to perform our best. We need to do what we can. I shared with you once about the man who had talked about he wanted to quit smoking and just hadn't been able to. And after listening to him talking a little while, I asked him, I said, have you actually tried to stop smoking? And he said, well, no. If God wants me to quit smoking, he'll remove that temptation from me. No, God expects us to do our best in resisting the temptations that come our way. And so we need to work on that and do our part, doing our best to resist the temptations. Not what do I have to do, but what can I do is one of the ways that we respond. That's a temptation that we have. We want to know, well, what do I just have to do? What's the very least I can do and still make it to heaven? And that's not performing your best. It should be, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? Resisting that temptation to do nothing. James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. That doesn't mean, okay, God, what's the very least I can do to get to heaven? Probably anyone who has that attitude will not make it. So our attitude should be, what can I do to help? Not, what do I have to do? Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so Jesus gave us an example of resisting temptation. He resisted them all. And we might say, well, yeah, but he was the Son of God. Yes, but he faced every temptation that we face without sin. He showed us that it's possible to resist temptation. And we're to walk in his steps. Now, we make mistakes. All of us have sinned, and all of us will probably sin in the future. But we need to do our best to resist those temptations. And then when we give in to them, realize we have sinned and ask God's forgiveness immediately for that. Romans 6:5-14. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, he's talked about the importance of baptism in the first few verses there. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And so we need to understand the importance of our doing our best to resist the temptation, doing what we can to overcome those temptations that we might have, and then leaving the rest up to God. And if we sin, then we immediately repent of that and ask God's forgiveness. So you perform your best. It's so important for us to realize that we have a part to play in this, and we can't just expect God to snap his fingers and all of a sudden we're not going to be tempted anymore. We are tempted. Satan is working on us continually. And then God provides the rest. Satan presents the test, we do our best, and then God provides the rest. With the temptation, he will also make the way of escape. And so there's always a door open to us to get away from temptation. And as I said earlier, as I look back over my life, anytime I've given in, there was always a way of escape. I just chose not to take it because I wanted to fulfill the desires of the flesh or lust of the eyes or pride of life. And that's probably true with each and every one of us. Everyone I've ever asked that to has said, yeah, there was a way of escape. I chose not to take it. And so, if we do our best, then God provides the rest. James 4 and verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So as long as we're striving to please God in our lives, and we make mistakes along the way, as we're drawing near to God, he will draw near to us. Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God is there. He loves us. He cares about us. He's done everything he can to provide the way of escape for us. And if we choose not to take it, he's still there waiting for us to come back and repent and return to him. So we need to realize the love of God and what he has done for us and the ways he has offered forgiveness to us in those times when we fall short. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. So our power comes from God. And God's going to provide us the way of escape if we're willing to take it. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so life is his desire for us. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God wants us to be saved. It is his gift to us, but we still have to play our part. We have to do our part, and we have to be willing to do our best to resist those temptations. And then when we do fall, to return to him in penitence. So how is Satan tempting you in your life? Are you doing what you're able and resisting temptations? In Revelation 12, 9 through 11 says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. So Satan's accusing us before God. Look at what your children have done. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, by the word of their testimony, by us sharing with others the gospel, and the fact that they did not love their lives to the death. They were willing, if necessary, to die for Christ. And so, are we willing to do those things? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and because we did not love our lives even to death. Are you depending on God for deliverance and looking for the way of escape? Are we looking for that way? Or are we kind of turning our backs on it and thinking, there's no way for me to escape this. I've just got to give in to this temptation. And we turn our back on the way of escape that God provided. The fall of man came because a lie was heard, believed, and obeyed. Restoration comes through hearing, believing, and obeying the truth. And so the very opposite is used to restore us. We know God, and Christians are going to triumph over Satan and evil. It would be foolish and illogical not to continue to believe in him, trust him, and serve him. So the book of Revelation lets us know that in the end, God is going to win over Satan. And Satan and his angels and all of those who did not love the truth will be cast in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And those who are righteous will be ushered into heaven. And so it's up to us how we deal with temptation. Satan's going to tempt us, and we need to resist him. And if we fall short, then we need to turn back to God, because he is there, he loves us, and he cares about us, and he's going to do everything he can to get us to heaven, if we're willing to fulfill our part in that. So it's up to us what we do with temptation in our lives. As we think about the fact that we have forgiveness of sins through the death of Jesus on that cross, and we're to reenact his death, burial, and resurrection in baptism to have our sins forgiven, and then live faithfully for him, resisting temptations that come our way. And as a Christian, if we sin, we repent of that, we confess that, and we ask God's forgiveness for that sin. So God's provided everything we need. The question is, are we taking advantage of it? If we can help you either in initial obedience to God in repentance and confession and baptism, or as a child of God to repent of your sins and confess them, we would love for you to come and allow us to help you in that as we stand together and sing.